Well, welcome, everybody. Good to have you. I love you, and I don't know how else to express it. Every time that God talks to us, he tells us how much he loves us. We should never lose sight of that. Well, we don't have to grasp at straws when it comes to spiritual matters concerning the new birth and our walk as the children of God. Our Father doesn't want us to be ignorant. The natural man walks by trial and error. He calls it the scientific method, but that's not God's method. Walking with him is by believing what he reveals in his word, and he reveals that we are to walk in newness of spiritual life. Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's in Matthew 4:4. Then in 2 Timothy 3:16, he assures us that all scripture is God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. With these truths in mind, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10. And someone stand up and read me Romans 10:9. Somebody that's present, anyway.
Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved.
There it is. At the moment you confessed him as Lord and believed God raised him out from among the dead, you are born of the Spirit of God. Now you're a child of God. Before then, you were a natural man, and you received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they were foolishness to you. The natural man is the man of the flesh, and he's mortal. He's terminally ill. He's going to die, and his flesh is going to corrupt. The flesh profits nothing, it says in John 6:63. Jesus Christ said that. And then the revelation in Romans 7:18 is there's no good thing in the flesh. The flesh is corrupt according to deceitful lust, it says in Ephesians 4:22. It's dead in sins, it says in Ephesians 2:1-5. And he is by nature a child of wrath, according to Ephesians 2:3. That's quite a resume for the old nature, isn't it? And we all had it. It didn't matter if we had splinters in our butt sitting on a pew or splinters sitting on a bar stool. Either way, we were dead in trespasses and sins without God and without hope. But by the grace of God in Christ, he fulfilled all of his will and he saved us. Now we have everlasting life. When you were saved, you were begotten from above, and God became your Father, and you became his child. You were born again of the Spirit from him. You entered the kingdom of God, and you became a fellow citizen with the saints and a member of God's household. In the new birth, you received a new spirit nature. You had an old nature. Now you have a new spirit nature on top of that. In that birth, you have sonship rights, such as you're justified, sanctified, redeemed, and you're reconciled to God. Now you have peace with God. You have sonship privileges, such as being blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm in Christ, like being seated in the heavenlies in Christ, of being God's dwelling place, by the Spirit. I'd call that a privilege, wouldn't you? Of having access to the Father by the Spirit, and so much more. Not only that, you have spiritual ability, and that enables you to operate the 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit for godly profit. Now God can work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. The new birth provides us with this new nature, that of the Spirit. It's a divine nature, it says in 2 Peter 1:4. were born of incorruptible seed. Not corruptible like the natural birth. It's incorruptible. Seed, you can't lose it. And 1 John 3:9 reveals that that birth, you cannot sin. And it cannot die. It is eternal life. We are now God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And out of Jew and Gentile, God made one new man in Christ. And that new man was created in righteousness and true holiness, it says in Ephesians 2:24. The new man was created in God's image, which is spirit, he says in Colossians 3:10 and 11, where Christ is all and in all. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, now we have both an old nature from the natural birth and a new spirit nature when we were born again. And as we saw in Romans 7, there is a conflict. It's like the alien. You remember that movie? Pops its ugly head. It's the alien. So there's a conflict between the old nature and the new nature. We don't have an old nature and then in successive stage have a new nature. We have both in the same body today. That's why it says in Romans 7, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And it's speaking of the old nature. It's corruptible. It's mortal. The answer is immediately given. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there's an ellipsis for the deliverance. So, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord for the deliverance. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. That's where we will to follow God. That's where we have the desire to walk with him. But with the flesh, the old nature, the law of sin that's written in our members. So we've got both natures. And the Lord Jesus Christ shall deliver us. It's like the Orientalism that's expressed, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. Bishop Pillai shed light on this. It was like what they would do at times. In the eastern lands, they would crucify another man face with a dead body. That's a slow, dead death. Mm-hmm. And it speaks of the old nature like that. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That redemption from the presence of sin will come when Christ returns and we'll have the redemption of the body. But today, we are already delivered from the guilt of sin, and it says in Romans 1:8-1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The rest of the words are not in any critical Greek text. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Look in chapter 5, verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, speaking of Adam, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one, Adam, to what? Condemnation. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to what? Condemnation. That's right. But in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And if you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, you are in Christ Jesus. That's how God considers you. Oh, there's more. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit is in the genitive, and it's a genitive of apposition. The law of the Spirit, it could read, that is to say, life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's written in your members, it talked about. in chapter 7. We now have life in Christ Jesus, and we're free from death-dealing sin. How wonderful is that? You're no longer in bondage to serve it. Your end is no longer a long home in the ground. For what the law could not do, verse 3, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Isn't that tremendous?
Yeah.
Look at verse 4. That the righteousness or the justness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the word is after is kata. It means according to. Who walks not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In Romans 8, the old nature is contrasted with the new spirit nature. And it's represented by words flesh and body, by the figure of speech synecdoche, S-Y-N-E-C-D-O-C-H-E, where a part is put for the whole. When you have flesh put for the whole human being, it's only a part of the whole being. Where you have body, the body is not the whole, it's only a part of it. And it's put to represent the old nature, flesh and body, where a part is put for the whole. The new nature is indicated by the word spirit, by the same figure of speech, synecdoche, where spirit is put for the totality of the new spirit nature, including all the rights, all the privileges, and all the ability and the inheritance associated with it. When you see the word spirit, it represents all of those. So whenever you see in the context of Romans 8, flesh is contrasted with spirit, or the law is contrasted with the spirit. They are synecdoches, and they are demonstrating the totality of the new spirit nature. In the intermediate class, Reverend Gere handles this as 2AI. 2A is the new birth, and 2AI is the totality of the new spirit nature. And it's in those contexts where flesh is contrasted to spirit, or the law is contrasted to spirit by synecdoche. So, let's pick it up in verse 3. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. It's what? It's fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the totality of the new spirit reality. So that includes the rights, privileges, and abilities. That means by renewing your mind. That means by receiving revelation, by speaking in tongues. It's the whole shebang. That means by claiming your sonship rights. So, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the totality of the new spirit reality. Then you've got a parenthetical insertion, and it explains this to us. For they that are after the flesh, the old nature, they mind the things of the what? The flesh. This is written from God's point of view. A natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. All he can know is the scientific method, what he can see, hear, smell, taste, or touch. That's it. So from God's point of view, they that are according to the flesh, the old nature, they mind the things of the flesh. But they that are according to the totality of the new spirit nature, they can mind, that there's an ellipsis here, an omission, they can mind the things of what? That new spiritual reality. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded, death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I think it's the strongest negative used in language. You may, I think it is. It's impossible. It's impossible for the old nature to be subject to the law of God. Verse 8, so then, they that are in the flesh, the old nature, cannot please God. But, and when God gets his butt in there, it's a big but. But you are not in the flesh, the old nature, but in the spirit, the totality of the new spirit nature. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Well, does God's Spirit dwell in you? Yes. Speak in tongues. Iste acta ilionti. Yes, yes, you got the proof. So from God's point of view, you no longer dwell in the flesh. You dwell in the Spirit. Do you see it? They that are in the flesh, they can't please God. You're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit from God, it's a genitive of origin, the Spirit from God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit, and then you've got another genitive, a genitive of apposition. If any man have not the Spirit, that is to say Christ, he's none of his. Wow, God's point of view is pretty strong, isn't it? God doesn't see you in the flesh anymore. He sees you as his child, filled with everything associated with the new birth. And the word if is EI in the sense of something that has been proven. So you could translate it since, S-I-N-C-E. And the same thing in verse 10. And since Christ is in you, the body, and the body is put for the old nature. The old nature is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is what?
Life
because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit from him, it's a genitive of origin, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, give life to your mortal body. How? By his Spirit that dwells in you. Verses 12 to 14 are a parenthetical insertion again. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, the old nature, to live after the flesh or according to the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you're just going to die. That's God's point of view. It's corruptible. It's mortal. It's terminal. If you live after the old nature, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How do you mortify the deeds of the body? Through the totality of the new birth reality. That includes claiming your sonship's rights, renewing your mind, and walking by the nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit as a child of God. We set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. We're not indebted to think like the people of the world, the old nature people, the natural men think. We think like the children of God. That's right. We're debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. So from God's point of view, For if you live after the flesh, you're just going to die. And God just told us he doesn't consider us of the flesh anymore. We're of the what?
Spirit.
Spirit. We're his people, his kids. Isn't that tremendous? Verse 13, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How do you mortify the deeds of the body? You starve it. You think what God says to think. You renew your mind to who you are in Christ, and you believe what God says about you. So you got two ways to think. You can think like the old man in the flesh, and you can focus on your past sins, all your failures, your insecurities, your shortcomings, or you can think as a son of God, and you can believe what God says you are in Christ. That's the choice. You'd have to be stupid to think about all the old man stuff when God doesn't consider you in that old nature any longer. He considers you to have the totality of the new birth reality, that new birth of the Spirit. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit, the totality of the new Spirit nature, by renewing your mind, by receiving revelation, by speaking in tongues, by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, believing miracles, and gifts of healing. As you are led by the Spirit, the totality of it. You got it? Led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. By cracky, you're the sons of God. That's God's point of view. You're no longer natural men in the flesh. You're no longer ones struggling in the old nature. Bless your heart. It says, where did I write it down? Look at, I forget. Look in chapter 6, verse 4. Well, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his what?
Yeah.
That's right. You might as well have had a cross planted right by him, because you're totally immersed in his death. Not only were you baptized in his death, verse 4 says, therefore you're buried with him by baptism into death. Do you make a habit of going around digging up dead people? I hope not. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. This is speaking of our identification with Christ in his death and resurrection. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Where he goes, we go all. When he died, we died to sin, to its guilt and condemnation. When he got up alive unto God. Well, by God, believe it. You got up a new man. It says in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Well, believe it. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is justified, is the text. He's justified from sin. Christ paid for your sin, the sin of Adam that he brought upon you and its condemnation of death. He that is dead is justified from sin. That's why you're free. Verse 8. And if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death doesn't have dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once. In that he lives unto what? Likewise. And this is the first command given to us in the book of Romans. After six chapters, first time we come up, reckon ye also so yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the word means to account. Reach the conclusion. Conclude it after all God has said to be true, believe it. Come up with the same conclusion that he presents to us. Believe it. We should live as dead men raised to life. Because the old nature died with Christ, you're justified from sin, you're free from its guilt. When he comes back, you're going to be delivered from the presence of sin and get glorious new bodies like his. So account yourself to be dead indeed to sin, speaking the sin of Adam and the condemnation it brought on us, and alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because you're not under any law. The law only applies to the living. Well, you died. You're no longer under its claims. You're a new man. You have the totality of the new spirit nature in the new birth. Where were we in Romans?
Chapter 8, verse 15.
So that's the end of the second parenthesis in verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God, by the totality of the new spirit nature. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. Now we're changing. We're talking about a lifestyle now. How we're going to live. You have not received of the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you lambanoed the spirit of adoption, the King James says. The word is euthesia. It's the spirit that makes you a son, or a sonship spirit, whereby we cry, Abba Father, Abba's Aramaic. We cry, Daddy. It's an intimate term. So instead of having a lifestyle of bondage, again to fear, we have a lifestyle of sonship, an intimate relationship with the living God as our Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, used as our inner being, that we are what? The children of God. Every time you speak in tongues, it's the proof that you're a child of God. And not only a child of God, if children, you're an heir of God. You have an inheritance coming. The redemption of the body is part of it. You're going to acquire the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're joint heirs with him. That's what it says next word. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be, or since we do suffer with him, that we may be also glorified, how? Together. I told you. You're going to acquire the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to talk about grace. We don't deserve any of this. We went from 60, 70, 80 years in a hole in the ground to eternal life, sons of God, the totality of a new spirit nature. Not only that, we have an inheritance from God and a joint heir with Christ. And the sufferings, I reckon, he must have been from southern Judea. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. It's just magnificent. So, you can see that synecdoche, where the flesh represents the old nature and the spirit, the totality of the new spirit nature. In this context here, it's so great. I mean, you can go through Romans 8. It begins with no condemnation. It ends up with no separation. From nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we can walk around thinking, oh, we're unworthy sinners. Oh, I've fallen short today. Oh, I don't deserve any of this. Oh, I sure blew it over there. Oh, woe is me. Or you can walk around, I'm a son of God with the righteousness of God. I'm justified by Christ. I stand in his righteousness. I'm holy and without blame. I've been redeemed. I've been forgiven by his sacrifice. Which way do you want to think? I think the other way. It'd be stupid to think the other way. After the flesh, after God doesn't even consider you to be in the flesh. He's sitting up there, you moron, what's wrong with you down there? How could you think all that after what I did in Christ? I justified you. What are you thinking about? We must give him heartburn. At times. Look at Galatians. We see the same figure, synecdoche, used over in Galatians, to contrast the old nature and the totality of the new nature. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only what I learn of you. Received you the totality of the new spirit reality by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Well, by the hearing of faith. I confess Jesus Christ as Lord. I believe God raised him from the dead. God saved me. That's fairly sound grace right there, right? I heard, I believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Verse 4, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the old nature, the flesh? If you got saved by the grace of God and by the spirit, by believing what God said, how could you possibly think that the old nature, which is dead in sin, can add something to the new nature? It's complete stupidity. It is. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now perfected by the flesh, the old nature? Have you suffered so many things for nothing, in vain? If it yet be in vain. He therefore that ministers to you the totality of the new spirit reality and works miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law? There's your contrast. Or by the hearing of what? Faith. It's by the hearing of faith. Then you've got the example of Abraham given. You go down to verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us in our stead, in our place. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, the totality of the new spirit nature, through, and in the Greek, you have the article there, the faith, which always means the right way of believing. We could believe a lot of things. We could believe if we confess the sinner's prayer, we could be saved. We could believe that we can go and light so many candles, we'll be saved. We could believe if we take catechism, we could be saved. We could believe if we got enough pens for church attendance, we could. No, it's none of that. God saved us by his grace by confessing Jesus as Lord and believing God raised him from the dead. And you got saved. And then he said, here's the Spirit. Now do another good work, and I'll give you justification. No, it all came together. All came together as a package. You were justified, sanctified, redeemed. It's all in the new birth package, the totality of the new spirit nature. You were seated in the heavenlies with Christ. You were made God's habitation. You were made a member of God's household by the grace of God the second you made the confession. You got it all. You see it? So you've got the figure here contrasting what you were before with the new spirit reality. Look over in chapter 5. It says, "Stand there fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of what?" The yoke of bondage from the context is the law. These Judeans wanted to stand approved before God by law keeping. And the Apostle Paul, by revelation, tells them, don't be entangled again with this yoke of bondage. What did the law pertain to? The old nature. That's right. It was given for men of the flesh of the nation of Israel. They didn't get the spirit, but they weren't to murder each other. They weren't to covet their wives. They weren't to do all the Ten Commandments and much more. It held their flesh in check until the Redeemer could come. It pertained to the old nature. Why would you want to go back into the bondage of the law? You never kept it when God gave it to us, Israel. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. It's a reality. It's an accomplished reality. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, the law. Behold, I, Paul, say to you, that if you be circumcised, which was the seal of the law, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that's a circumcised that he's debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. Jesus Christ justified us from what the law could not justify us from. Says that in Acts. For we through the Spirit, the totality of the new spirit reality, wait for the hope of righteousness by pistis, by believing. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision gives you any spiritual strength, it doesn't avail anything, nor uncircumcision, but believing, which is energized by God's love. Then he gets in a discussion, well, you ran good. Who took you out of the race here? Then you get down to 13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, the old nature. But by love do what?
Serve
one another. I should consider you better than myself, and you should consider me better than yourself. And we have the same care for one another. We walk in love, serving one another. That's right. Father, what can I do today for God's people? Then listen. He's your Father. Listen. He'll respond. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, and he shall give it. Whose idea was it to give you the blame spirit? God's. Whose idea was it to empower you with the nine manifestations? God. He's your Father. You didn't come up with the idea. So we need to grow in our confidence of the good pleasure of his will and start thinking like his children and not be so mentally divided, struggling with the old man, trying to make it a new man. That's religion. The old man knows no rules. And the new man needs no rules. Walk in love. I'm getting too loud.
No.
Oh, boy. Look at it. Verse 13. Brethren, you've been called unto what? Liberty. You know what liberty means? It means freedom, liberty. Not a lifestyle of bondage again to fear, but a lifestyle of sonship. Daddy, It's an intimate walk in newness of life now. The living God fathered you by his Spirit. Now we need to grow in our confidence and boldness of what we have received. That's what we need to grow in. We're never going to get any more spiritually. It's all inside. The only difference between speaking in tongues and healing is the prophet. The same Spirit is energized by the same God. As a matter of fact, it's considered a greater work than the works that Jesus Christ did. We can heal people like he did. We can cast out devils like he did. He said, the works I do, you shall do also, and greater, because I go to the Father. That made it possible. So we need to have that confidence. We can get people born again. He couldn't. It wasn't available yet. And we can speak in tongues and interpret in tongues. That wasn't available when he was alive either. All of that would be in the category of greater works. We take it for granted. That's the old man. That alien pops up. Sticks, rears up its ugly head. Think about your flesh. Think about your flesh. Your neighbor does. Think like he does. You're different. You're weird. You're strange. God said, stick it. Get back in the grave. Get in that coffin where you belong. It's that stark a reality. Either you were crucified with Christ as a one-time deal, and the old man is what he says he is, and you're justified, or he's not. Either you have the things that we read about, these wonderful things, that God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm in Christ, or he hasn't. Either it is by the good pleasure of his will, or it's not. Either he predetermined these things and laid the plans for them and sent his Son to accomplish it, to make it a reality, or he didn't. He says he did. Then we ought to take him at his word. We ought to believe it. Verse 16, look at 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Try that one on. Yeah. But if you bite and devour one another by backbiting, by holding evil thoughts in your mind about each other, by criticizing, forget it. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and that's in the dative case. It would make more sense saying walk by the totality of the new Spirit nature. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the old nature, the flesh. For the flesh, the old nature, lusts against the new Spirit nature, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Oh, let's be that honest. You didn't get delivered from the old nature, from its presence. It's still there. But you've got a new nature. You won't be delivered from the presence of the old nature until Christ returns and either resurrects you from the dead or changes you to be like him, transfigures you with a new body, like his glorious body. Until then, there's going to be this conflict between the old nature and the new nature. And you got to decide if you're going to believe what God says about you or what the devil constantly crams in your ears. That's right. If you're going to have confidence to walk with God, minister healing, interpret and prophesy accurately by hearing God's voice, if you're going to walk by believing and not by sight, then you have to believe what God says you are in Christ. This I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It's said in Romans 7:14-25, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. So then I find the law. And then you've got the law of God that he held in his mind, which is the law of the inner man. And then you got the law of sin written in his members. Who's going to deliver me? We covered it. Christ Jesus the Lord. He is our deliverer. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin written in my members, in my body parts, in the old nature. But there's no condemnation. There's no guilt. So we just need to get past the flesh, the old nature, and believe who we are in Christ and have confidence towards him and boldness. That's right. Verse 18. But if you're led of the Spirit, it doesn't mean you don't get out of bed unless you have revelation. No, that's not what it's talking about. If you're led of the totality of the new spirit nature, it's renewed mind. It's claiming your sonship rights. It's walking by the Spirit of God when he tells you to do something. All of it. If you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, verse 19, the works of the flesh, the old nature are manifest, which are these? And here's the menu, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, or lust, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, divisions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's not all of them, it's just a menu, a sampler. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which practice such things, do such things, practice such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They're the what? What did it call them? The works of the old nature. God doesn't consider you to be in the old nature, does he? Even though you still got one, God doesn't consider you to be in the flesh, but in the spirit of, if the Spirit of God dwell in you. Well, let me read you another one. Go to 2 Corinthians, I think it is. Or is it 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, you're not unrighteous, you're what? You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So stop feeding the old nature. You don't give in to those desires. You strive to renew your mind to believe who you are in Christ and walk in the fullness of that reality as a son of God, righteous, justified, sanctified, and redeemed. You've got the redemption from your sins, and when Christ returns, you're going to have the redemption of your body. You've got the full package, the full Monty. You got it all. Go back to Galatians 5. And it's all ours by the grace of God. Verse 22. But, setting in contrast with the old nature, the fruit of the Spirit, and this is the totality of the new spirit nature, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, believing, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Nothing holding you back. No law. Don't be meek. Don't be loving. There's no law. That's right. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the sufferings and cravings. The word affections is pathema. It's translated sufferings everywhere but here. 14 times. And you've got the word lust, which is cravings. It's the cravings of the old nature. It's unruly. It has deceitful lust. It's its nature. Don't listen to it. Renew your mind to who you are in Christ. Believe what God says you are. The gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. By God, and just make up your mind. Walk in it. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh. We read it in Romans 6, 6 and 7. We've crucified the old nature with the sufferings and the cravings. If we live in the totality of the new spirit nature, let us also walk in the spirit. And the word in there, they're both in the dative case, should be better translated by. Since, again, it's EI. And it's been a proven reality. He's told us over and over. Since you live by the Spirit, the totality of the new spirit nature, let us also walk by the totality of the new spirit nature. By believing who you are in Christ, by renewing your mind, by standing on your sonship rights, by operating the nine manifestations. It's never going to be because your flesh gives you evidence of these truths. It's because God gives us the evidence of His Word that it is so. His Word is His will. It's the good pleasure of His will. Take a look at 2 Corinthians. Close out there. Chapter 3. There are more usages of this than I'm going to cover in 2 Corinthians 3. But we'll get down to verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit from the Lord is. It's a genitive of origin. There is liberty. Let me see what he says here in the working translation. Let me look it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit from the Lord is, there is freedom. And the usage here, he says in verse 17, of Spirit, used here to refer to the totality of the new spirit nature. Compare this record with Romans 8, 9, and 10 we read previously. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit from God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead on account of sin, and the Spirit is life on account of righteousness. So, you choose. Which one are you going to mind? Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit from the Lord is, there is what? Verse 18. So, this is from the working translation. As we with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are all transfigured into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit from the Lord. The chapter talks about how glorious the administration of the law was when Moses walked with him and came down off the mountain, had to cover his face because his face shone with the glory when he stood in the presence of God. Now it says, but we all, with unveiled face, he had to put a veil over his face. It was too bright. People couldn't take it. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit from the Lord. Today we've got the glory of the new birth reality. They had the glory of the law when Moses came down. We're going to have the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and be changed into the same image when he returns. What do you want to fill your mind with? Do you want to just think about how lousy you are, how big a failure you are, how bad off you are? Do you want to walk around dwelling on the old nature and living sin conscious and thinking how unworthy you are before God? Or you can dwell on the new spirit nature and who you are in Christ by the grace of God. You are dearly beloved and highly favored in his sight. Choice seems obvious to me, doesn't it? Father, thank you for your goodness, your great loving grace, that we can walk in the totality of the new spirit nature that you accomplished by your grace for us in Christ. And thank you, Father, for all the great reality that is yet to come, that you've laid up in store for us in the heavenlies. And Father, bless your people this week. Walk with them, talk with them, lead them, guide them, provide for them, care for them, Father. Just be their sufficiency in all things all the time. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a wonderful week.